It's important that you guys got that. The last 3 weeks we've talked about, you know, in the vision series, the first two steps, we talked about, number one, we said you have to be one of the Lord, right? It has to be a born-again experience. Everybody has to, you know, come to that. Jesus said in John 3, you know, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if you've not had a born-again experience, then you need to be born again, first of all. That's what really makes you a Christian. It's not going to church. It's when you're, you know, washed by the blood of Jesus and your sins are forgiven, when there's a repentance in your life. Amen? And then, you know, God has really shown us over the last, you know, 20 years that there was something we're missing, actually 30 years, you know, in the church, that there was a connecting phase that was happening. A lot of people would come, and if we wouldn't take care of those baby Christians, those little seeds, they would end up, you know, leaving the church. So we talked about the connecting phase, and he told us that there was, in the strategy he given us, four different ways that you can be sure you can connect. Number one, obviously attend the foundation score and the encounter. Second, get into a connection group, which is very important. You need to be in a small group, so it's like a homeroom for you. You have to find a place to serve. And of course, you know, I kind of put two in one. The fourth thing is making sure that you deal with the past and your sins and the things that hold you back, right? So that's the win and connect. Today I want to talk about step number three, the train phase. Okay, so I'm calling this message a training vision. Okay, so I'm going to start with his vision, because this is really his vision. It's not something we came up with. We didn't manufacture this. This is what God told us to do. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Listen to this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and," what? "Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then it says, "Teaching them to observe," that, well, observe means action, right? "All things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. I'm going to put it into my words. Jesus said, "Because I was obedient to the Father to the point of death, he has rewarded me with authority over the earth, the people, angels, demons, and the universe itself. I have trained you guys for the last, you know, 3 years, and I'm officially delegating my mission to redeem the world to you. You are to make disciples, not converts, of all the nations. You're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you need to teach them to know and put into action all of my teaching." That's the Great Commission. And it's found in all four Gospels in one way or another, and it's found in the book of Acts as well. But he said, "Don't worry, I am with you until the end of the earth." Hallelujah. That means he's going to be with us all along. He didn't just leave us. You know, before he leaves, "I will give you another comforter." So, point number one, every believer must develop the character and lifestyle of Christ. Every believer must develop the character and lifestyle of Christ. Okay, so we hold dearly to three truths from Scripture here at Shiloh. And we believe every church should have this. Number one, every believer is enabled to reflect God's glory. Every single believer. Every single one of you has been enabled, if you received Jesus in your heart, you've been sealed with the Spirit of the promise, the Holy Spirit, and you've been enabled to reflect God's glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being," what? "Transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Whose image? Jesus' image, right? He's the prototype. But what we're saying here is that everyone is trainable. Tell the person next to you, everyone is trainable. Don't count yourself out. I've heard people that have never finished high school, but they finished a discipleship school. They never read a book, but they learned to read through the Bible. Come on. Everybody is trainable. But we all, it says there, everyone with the Spirit of God can become a disciple. The second truth we hold on to is God has a unique task for you. Everybody here has a slightly different task, or maybe really different tasks. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He saw you before the foundation of the earth, and he said, I'm going to save you, I'm going to train you, and I'm going to give you some really awesome tasks for you to show my glory. People will know who I am through you." People will know who I am through you. The third truth, everyone has the potential to train others. Everyone here can be used to mentor, to raise others in different capacities. And the giftings as God has given you. We need to raise up people, not just, I'm talking about just preaching the gospel from the pulpit, but I'm talking about administrative tasks. You know, I'm talking about, you know, serving the tables, visiting the sick, you know, going on missions, and everything in between. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and it says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. God makes no exception of persons. You need to get that in your spirit. Well, you know, they're so anointed. Oh, he's the pastor. I didn't start being the pastor. I was a kid. I got in a lot of fights. You know, you wouldn't believe that. But God changed me from the inside out. Jesus made a huge statement by choosing his disciples who were not Rhodes Scholars. They were in the cream of the crop of society. He chose from the fishermen, the tax collectors, and the like. You're in good company if you feel, hey, maybe I'm not that smart or something like that. He wanted to show his glory. He said, they're going to reflect me. They're not going to reflect themselves. Come on. Even though God can use those very able people who have humbled themselves. It is not God who puts limitations, people. It is us. You can go as far as you like with God. Not within your unique calling. You will go exceedingly beyond what you can ask or think or imagine if you will allow him to do it in you. You think Peter ever saw himself, you know, raising the sick, you know. It says that his anointing was so strong that as long as his shadow fell on people, they would get healed. Come on. God has given us a strategy to take a brand new believer and build the character and the lifestyle. Not just the character, but the lifestyle, the actions, the practice in them to the point that they can consistently grow into his image and begin to impact other people. You know, the life of the believer is not a straight line. I mean, there's ups and downs, you know, but it's supposed to go higher and higher as you go along. God uses every little bit to train us, even our failures, even where we falter, our doubts. You know, our backsliding, he uses it all to refine us, to look more like him every day. In our train phase, we have been working on a three-level curriculum, which is designed to train you in how to study the word, how to understand it, how to put it into action, and eventually to even teach it to others. It is not designed to make you a theologian, but rather a Jesus lover. A Jesus lover. We firmly believe that everyone has the God-given ability to develop that character and lifestyle of Christ and impact people around them. Point number two. Jesus wants you to be trained in wisdom. Wisdom. Not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom the world offers. You know, you read in the magazines, you know, and stuff like that. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Hallelujah. Jesus never lost an argument. He had a supernatural wisdom. Amen. James 3 verses 15 through 17 says, this wisdom does not descend from above. It's talking about worldly wisdom, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. But where envy and self-seeking exist, you know, get ahead by stepping over people. Come on. Confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Come on. Who wants supernatural wisdom? Hallelujah. The wisdom of God goes against the grain of the world. Come on. You don't want to excel in the way of the world and the worldly things. But you want to get ahead in the law of love. It's a lot like what Forrest Gump said. You know, godly wisdom is a lot like this. I'm not a very smart man. But I know what love is, Jenny. Come on. Anybody seen that movie? Yes. I know what love is, and your life doesn't look good, Jenny. Yes, come on. The beginning of wisdom is not knowledge, but it is to fear the Lord. It's not even having amassing a ton of biblical knowledge. One working definition of wisdom is knowing when to apply knowledge. You know, everything is about timing. They say timing is everything, right? It's a time to fight, you know, and a time for peace. You know, and there's some people out here that are applying peace when they're supposed to be fighting. And some people that are, you know, fighting when they're supposed to be applying peace. Anybody feel like that? You're just fighting the wrong battles? It's because you're not applying godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Jesus had the wisdom that could never be refuted. They were trying to get him on the bad side of the Romans or of the Jews when the Pharisees asked him if they should pay taxes to the Romans. But in God's supernatural wisdom, without skipping a beat, Jesus asked them, give me a coin. And asked me, and asked them, whose likeness is it on it? He pulled it out. Oh, it's Caesar's. Well, therefore, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. That is supernatural or godly wisdom. Come on. So he spent time training his disciples and other followers on godly wisdom. He said, I will show you who is the greatest in the kingdom. That's a very practical thing. I want to show you what godly wisdom looked like. It's not about being the top, you know, being the leader, being seen and fame. It's who serves. Who's the least? Who's willing to love the least of these? That's the greatest in the kingdom. Want to know how to worship? Know what about praying and fasting? Well, I say, hey, when you pray, don't do it in front of people to be seen. You want God to see you. When you fast, don't try to look somber. This is for God. When you give, don't publicize it. You're doing it for an audience of one. If he sees it, that's what counts. That's wisdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount was all about wisdom. Don't judge your brother's speck, you know, that sawdust in his eye. When you have a big old 2x4 in your eye, come on. Now, he's not telling us to never judge, but it says before you judge, you better examine your life. You know, as parents, we have to judge our children's lives. That's not looking good. No, Daddy. Only God can judge me. Tupac said that, you know. No, it doesn't work like that. That's a whole message in itself. He said, go the extra mile for people. Love your enemies. That's wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. This is the character of Christ. Okay, point number three, Jesus wants you to train in faith. So he wants you to train in wisdom, but he also wants you to train in faith. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not have doubt in their heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He's telling the disciples, I'm training you in faith, guys. He talks always about the invisible God. And how the Spirit of God moves like the wind. You can't see the Spirit, but you can see its effect. He told them that all they need is a seed of faith. That's all you need. Just a little seed. A mustard seed. He told them about the authority in the Spirit and how they could heal the sick. He demonstrated it first by multiplying 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He taught them how to cast devils. He taught them about discernment, how to be led by the Spirit. He called Peter out into the water. But first he stepped out into the water. Peter, come out here into the water with me. Well, if it's you, Lord, I'm coming out too, right? He was training him in faith. And God calls us to do things that go against the grain also in the sense that they don't align with common sense. You know, we talk about Financial Peace University. I was sharing this yesterday. And it tells how to be good stewards, you know. But there's times, you know, once you've been a good steward, God will say, I know you had that money set aside. You've been saving up for that car, but I want you to give it to that person. Oh, I rebuke you, devil, you know. I'm being a good steward here. But sometimes faith will take you to places where you don't want to go, you know. And you have to be willing and obedient. He's training you in faith. It's not amassing academic knowledge, but receiving the kingdom like a child. If he says it, it's true. That's faith. I say God is going to accelerate the development. This is the prophetic part. Of many of you, because he needs to mobilize you. All you need to do is say yes to the process of God. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Leave the training to me. I have chosen you. I will prepare you and equip you. You will be part of a new breed of leaders for a new revival. You're one who has Abraham as a father. And Romans 4:17, it says that he's the one who calls those things that be not as though they are. The father of the faith, you know, had a child in his old age. That was faith. Faith is demonstrated, and then it is put into practice. Come on. Faith, after all, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you're reluctant to move in faith, then you need to acknowledge that you still need to be trained. Maybe you have a ton of wisdom, but not a lot of faith. And you know what? And so you do have to have a certain level of faith even to apply some basic wisdom. But I'm talking about God wants you to go to the higher level stuff. You know? But this is the God, the way that God works. If you're faithful with the little things, then he gives you bigger things. If you haven't applied the common sense and the wisdom stuff, he's not going to reveal to you the visions. You know, he's not going to take you to Paul into the third heaven and out-of-body experience where you saw mysteries that he can't even talk about. You know, that's not for you just yet. You need to start just reading your Bible every day, right? Yeah, you need to pray. You need to go to connection group. Amen. You need to start serving somewhere. That's basic wisdom. You know, that's going to bless your life. You need to start paying your tithe. And I say paying, not giving. Paying your tithe. You know, if I were to tell you to, you know, please give your tithe, then I'm robbing you of your blessing. I don't live by the tithe, so you don't have to worry about that. I still have my job, you know. So I'm okay saying this. You don't feel like, oh, he's not talking about money because he wants my money. I don't want your money. I want you to be blessed. And I'm telling you, the more I give to God, I can never outgive him. Hallelujah. Even paying tithes is faith. He says, come test me on this. Check this out. Bring the money in and see what happens to your finances. All have a place to attain. Philippians 3:12, even Paul, the giant of the faith, said, not that I have already attained. He said, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm still trying to go higher. Or I'm already perfected. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. And my final point, point number four. Jesus wants you to train experientially. So yes, he wants you to have wisdom, he wants you to have faith, but he wants you to learn by experience. Come on. You don't just want it in here. Faith without works is dead, right? Mark 6, verses 7 and 8, and I'm also going to read verse 12. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. Hey guys, I'm not done with your training, but I'm going to give you a low risk, small size task. I want you to go to that village over there, you two together, you know, keep each other encouraged. And I want you to preach the gospel, whoever opens the door to you. And I want you to, if there's sick people, just pray for them. I'm giving you my authority, you're going to see people get healed. And when you're done doing all these things, come back to me and tell me how it went. That's how training works. They had already seen Jesus do it. Now Jesus sends them on a small task. You know, they come back, oh my goodness, the demons are subject to us. Woo! You know, I mean, they're so excited. You know, they didn't think it was going to happen. But that's how training works. You know, the first time he's like, devil, get out. And he does get out. Whoa, I didn't think that was going to happen. You know? You lay the first person to the Lord. Or you pray for somebody, they get healed. You're like, oh! You're the most, you know, wowed by it. And it's okay. We all have a place to start. We all have a place to go. And he commanded to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money bills, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He's like, I'm going to take care of you. That's faith right there. I will provide for all your needs. And I'm going to jump to verse 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And I'm also going to read verse 13. I don't think I give this to you, Mark, but I'm going to say it. And it says, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Praise God. So it wasn't just wisdom. It wasn't just the notion of faith. It was an act of faith that he trained him to live. And that's what God wants for this hour. Come on. He's been telling us over and over, Sunday after Sunday, this is the time. This is the time. And I see some of you guys are starting to do it. You're moving into positions. You know, you're ushering. You're helping with the coffee ministry. You're doing the prayer ministry. I want to thank, by the way, all the people that prayed this week. And there were some people that were praying hour by hour during our retreat. They had a schedule, the Pastor Jim set up. And I want to thank him for that, because without that, you know, we can't do it. We need a lot of prayer. But after some time instructing him, he said, all right, you've seen enough, guys. I'm empowering you and I'm delegating you this stuff. You know, you've done enough on the job training, OJT. Come on. That's the master trainer for you. When he fed the multitudes, it was the disciples who were instructed to divide all the people into small groups and sit them down. The word tells us that Jesus wasn't who baptized, but it was the disciples who baptized the people. It was a baptism of repentance. Amen? Even the greatest apostles begin by doing simple things. We all started, you know, somewhere, you know, washing the bathrooms, you know, picking up after a luncheon, you know, driving people home. You know, I put so many miles. You know, I used to pick up kids in all these dirt roads, the Bible Mosin. And I wanted to get my oil changed, and he's like, "Where have you been?" It's like, the guy's looking at the underside of my car. He's like, "It's all dented up, you know." So, well, yeah, it was a little Mazda, you know. It's not made for off-roading. But that's what it is. But that's, you have to do that. That's part of the training program. Would you be willing to pick up somebody for church? To bring them on Wednesday? To bring them on Tuesday to foundation class? Would you be willing to pay for somebody's encounter retreat? Come on. Yes. God has given us a clear-cut vision that we are to be training ground for well-equipped believers. Next week, I'm going to talk about the send phase, which is the culmination of that. And it means a lot of things, but I will talk about it next week. Acts 17, verses says, "These are the people that have turned the world upside down, and they have come here too." These are the people that have turned. I want us to turn this town upside down, or better said, we're going to turn it right side up because it's already upside down. We're going to turn it right, you know, right side up. You just have to commit to the process. And this is not. I'm not going to force anyone to do this. This is all as the Lord leads you, as you accept the task. You know, Jesus said, "Follow me." You know. And I will make you fishers of men. And he started walking. And so they dropped the nets. So yeah, the rabbi said, let's go. You know, but it's voluntary. My wife wanted me to say this, to say, hey, it's voluntary. I'm saying this now. If you're like, yeah, I'm a little reluctant. I don't know about this. I've tried stuff like this. Well, it's okay. We still love you. We're still going to minister to you and love you here. You know, there's no difference between those that are going to the process or not. As a matter of fact, we can't take everybody in the first encounter. There's only like room for 60, and 10 of them are leaders. So there's only room for 50. So we can't take everybody on the first one, but there'll be others coming up after that. But if you say, you know, I'm ready. This is what I've been waiting for. I'm itching. Come on. Then when you leave here, just go and sign up. Amen. Sign up. There's a table out in the lobby for you to. So you will be trained in wisdom, you will be trained in faith, in love, but experientially, not theoretically or notionally. Remember, the Great Commission starts with go. It's a verb. It's an action.